This week's episode of Here's What I Don't Get is brought to you in part by Poor Life Decisions. Poor Life Decisions, what a great way to make everyone's life around you miserable while you pretend to be the victim. Welcome back to Here's What I Don't Get, from north to south, east to west, the only intercontinental podcast to tackle all of life's toughest issues and the longest consecutively running podcast on the See You Next Tuesday podcast network. I am your host, Tad Burke, coming to you live from the most dangerous city in America, St. Louis, Missouri, and joining me currently, my friend, all the way down south in Paraguay, where it is freezing cold because of the axial tilt of the earth, El Chaco.
Hola, mi enchada. How about that energy I got bringing tonight?
Yeah, welcome back. El Chaco missed last week's episode because he was extremely sick, and it looks like he's still kind of sick.
Well, and I wasn't planning on being on this one either.
Yeah.
But it looks like Buck's setting up, so he'll be here shortly. So I'm kind of bridging the gap here for you.
Yeah. And then also on this week's episode, I guess officially, is Uncle Buck, if he's actually here and ready to go.
There he is.
He gave me a one finger.
All right.
But yeah, you know, 7:30 means 7:30. I'm running a tight ship from now on. He's putting his hands in his ear like his shit's broken. This is the new sheriff in town. I lost. Hey,
I'm not the only one cursed on this then.
Yeah,
I guess.
That's true.
Yeah. I was totally ready to go last week. And then so 2 weeks prior, my wife got, we went to Asuncion for an appointment, and we were walking around the mall afterwards, and she was like, man, I got like cramps in my legs and I got like a headache behind my eyes. And I was like, oh, that sounds like you're actually getting sick. So she was like sick for like a whole week, and I had to like, you know, do my job, but also try not to like make life worse for her by like adding extra work or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And meanwhile, my like employee guy, he is recovering from a hernia surgery. So it was like all of a sudden, basically all my major helps in life were down at the same time. And just as my wife was starting to get back on track, that's when all of a sudden, whammo, I got hit with the same thing. And it was like just the weirdest amount of symptoms. I, you know, like was coughing up lung. It felt like my ribs were broken. And then like the next day, the ribs problem was gone, but it felt like I had swallowed like a bag of knives. And then the weirdest thing is that just this last weekend, we're walking around at the mall again in Asuncion, and my toes were like on fire. And I felt like I was like, oh, maybe I should go get some like athlete's foot something or mm-hmm. something's weird, but it was just my toes, not the rest of my feet. And then, so I go and I look at them and they're like beet red. And I'm like, well, what is going on? Like, am I getting like diabetes or something? I don't know what is going on with myself. And then all of a sudden, like the next day, my hands, my palms were just beet red. And then my skin felt like it was too tight. Mm-hmm. Like I dipped my hands in acid or something. And so all of a sudden it went from being, like all these just different days, different symptoms. But on the day of the last show that that we were going to do together, I could not stop coughing. Like that was the day with the like broken ribs day. Mm-hmm. And it was just the worst. So as bad as I sound, I've got a mild amount of dizziness, but that's about it. And other than that, I'm okay, I guess, to go. So, you know, once Buck comes in here, he can tag me out and you guys can go to, you know, have at her.
Yeah.
That's
yeah. So last week I did the solo episode and
I liked it.
There was a lot of good feedback. So I think, you know, like I said before, I think the plan is from now on, like, I'm just going to say, hey, we're recording at 7:30. If people want to join, they can join. And if nobody joins, I'm just going to go ahead and do it myself just to get all this like poison out of my body that I carry around all the time, because I'm surrounded by the human race, which is 50% stupider than you, and 50% of the human race is dumber than you. And then 50% thinks they're smarter than you. So,
yeah. Yeah, there's not that many populations on Earth that are higher than a 100 IQ.
Yeah. So I said this before I actually like hit record for the proper episode, but Saturday I was sitting here doing WATP. I was a guest on the show. We reviewed this podcast about Fleece Johnson, who's a criminal that rapes men, and I get a text message. If you watch that video, you can see me get this text message and how happy I get in the middle of this episode. But I got a text message from one of the gallery assistants at the gallery where I have my art submitted. And, a woman came in and saw one of the pieces I had made. It's not one of the ones in this picture, but it's one in a similar style. And she really liked it, but she wanted it in a specific color palette. So she was like, can you guys do that? And the gallery assistant contacted me. Fortunately, it was a text message while I was on the show and not a phone call. And so I'm texting back and forth, just being like, yeah, I can absolutely do a custom piece for that price. No problem. So I'm trying to get in contact with the woman. I was trying to get in contact with her today and like work out some details and get a plan with my partner to like basically do a color tester, get the color approved, and then like do the full size work. It's going to be about 2 feet tall, this Ooh. Big cut vase. And so I'm going to have to like rent a special hole, but,
Can I intercede for a quick second here just to say how cool it is to have three original Tab Burt glasses in my house? Like the one of them is, it's just like the perfect large glass. You know what I mean? It's this perfect large glass. And so it's actually great for just straight up water. Mm-hmm. I want to drink whiskey out of these things, but the problem is that I have no desire to drink anything right now at all. I think I mentioned to you also like something changed.
Yeah. And your taste buds.
Everything's messed up. My taste buds are all messed up. I tried smoking a cigar. I haven't had a cigar in like 5 days. But I tried having one yesterday and I got like three puffs in and I was ready to throw up. I was so revolted by the taste. And then like I had a glass of wine last night. I couldn't take it. It something has happened to me. I got poisoned.
Yeah.
I got poisoned either by chemtrails or by mosquitoes genetically altered mosquitoes from Bill Gates or something. Like it is just everything's it's off.
Funny because I've been listening to old episodes of Hey, Here's What I Don't Get back, I'm on like episode 9, I think.
Okay.
Or I think I'm on a bonus episode.
Who was nine?
Blonde was on. But in that episode, you guys were actually talking about chemtrails. So.
Yeah. And that was when I think, because Buck was very adamantly like against chemtrails, where mm-hmm. I still believe that they, not only do I believe they exist, like I prove they exist. It's just a matter of, I don't know what's in them. Yeah. But there's, and like, I got video just from this last weekend. Like I do not live anywhere near a flight path, but this weekend was just all over the place with this one plane just going back and forth and checkerboarding the sky. And I was pissed off about it because I was like, I'm already sick. I don't need more.
Well, at least you're outside a 5G zone.
Oh, totally. There's going to be 5G forever. Is Buck almost set up?
He's giving me a thumbs up. I don't know what it is. Right. I live in one of the biggest cities in the United States, and I can't get cell phone service inside my own office, and it is making me so irritated. I'm trying to send a text message or I'm trying to send a picture message or get a text message and my phone's just not working. And it's like, what the fuck? I have like top tier service in a major metropolitan city. I am like right in the center of this fucking city and I can't get these things to work. It's been irritating the shit out of me for like the last week.
Oh man. Well, I'm going to let you guys have at her tonight. I just was helping to fill in the gap here. Well, I didn't want to see you do have another one. So good to see you. I'm going to bounce. I'll talk to you guys later. Buddy. All right.
Yep. Okay. See you later. Well, how's it been going?
It's been going unprofessional. That's how it's been going. Now the past year has been pretty, pretty remarkable in the terms of being terrible. How's your year been?
Peaks and valleys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know that feeling. So, I do have one cool thing that happened. Remember years ago, on season 2, I talked a lot about the fact that I had to have another hernia surgery, mm-hmm. right? So I didn't bring it up much on the show for legal reasons, but afterwards there was a class action lawsuit for the hernia mesh that failed. By the way, I need to do what you've done. You've lost a ridiculous amount of weight, dude. You look like 2018 me.
Yeah. I look like 2010 me.
Well, that's pretty great.
I weigh about what I did in high school.
Dang, dude.
Yeah.
I weigh the most I've ever weighed. So obviously all that weight you lost, I gained it. But anyway, class action lawsuit, pie in the sky, may never happen, whatever. That was, 2017, 2018. Mm-hmm. I finally, last week, got my settlement. So how many years is that? Like almost
six?
6 years?
Yeah. Was it like $37?
So it was supposed to be, now that it's over, I can talk about some things. I was supposed to get $30,000 for this settlement, which is that's a get you out of debt kind of lump sum. I was excited. And then the lawyers were like, well,
oh, we need our cut.
You're not getting $30,000. You silly fat man. We're taking, at that time they said like, $9,000 or $10,000. Okay. Billable hours. They put a lot of years into it. By the time it finally came to me, they'd taken 12. But also the insurance company. It turns out insurance companies are a scam.
Yeah.
Because they were like, hey, didn't you have us, you know, pay for your surgery? I was like, yes, I did. That's what insurance does. I pay my premiums. I've been paying premiums for a very, you know, my entire adult life.
Yeah.
I feel like you've made more money off of me than you have spent. Mm-hmm. They're like, that's cool. Here's a medical lien for $8,000. So I got $9,000 back, which, listen, I'm not going to complain that like $9,000 materialized in my hand. It's going to do a lot for us. I have to have our roof replaced, which is one of the other things we were doing today, talking to the roofers. But I got this fantastic check and I took it to the bank. I endorsed it. I was very pleased. I handed it to the lady. She's like, oh, hey, that's a big check. Guess what we're going
to
do?
Hold on to it for 7 days?
Yeah. We're going to put a hold on your money.
Yeah.
I was like, why? She's like, well, and she held up the check and pointed to the address of the bank, the sending bank, as though I were in kindergarten, and says, this bank is in Texas. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, we live in a world of the internet where you can send money across the planet in an instant.
She's like, well, that bank is in Texas and we're not. I was like, that tells me nothing. Like, you can call Texas. You could probably call the state as a whole with some sort of app, but continue telling me about Texas. Well, so it's going to be like the 5th. I was like, okay, the 5th's not too far away before you get some of your money. What do you mean some? And then you have to wait for the rest of it till the 13th. I was like, what, Brenda? Why would you not give me, like, if you're going to have to verify that it's coming from Texas, like they have to put it on a Wells Fargo truck,
all or nothing,
ship it across? What?
It should either be all or nothing. It should either be, okay, we're going to hold the check until it clears in 7 days, or we're going to just go ahead.
Your money.
We're going to go ahead and trust the fact that you didn't fake this check.
Well, or the fact that I've been banking with them for years and years. And I've never once defrauded them.
Yeah.
They've defrauded me a couple of times, but that's beside the point. It's only fraud when I do it. It's not fraud when they do it.
Yeah.
I think that's how that system works. So, and considering the hat I'm wearing, I have to be cautious about throwing around the word fraud or I might get censored from the internet. So we'll leave that aside. So now, the money that I'm going to use to pay my roofers
doesn't exist.
They were here today and they're like, hey, so you got that check? No. Why? Why would I have a check for you? It's at the bank. Go talk to them.
That's super annoying.
Yes, it is. So that's my mini issue.
Yeah, I've dealt with that with my bank too, where anything above like $2,500 and they want to hold on to it for a few days. It's like, why?
Well, the even funnier part was I looked at the little statement she gave me about when the funds are going to be released. And apparently there's a threshold that you have to be under to get all your funds at once. It's $5,525. Mm. That's an odd threshold, don't you think?
I think it's probably some governmental number that they came up with.
That sounds like it was come up within a committee.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It really irked me. I was like, oh, how appropriate that I'm going to be on the podcast tonight and life has just decided to stick me one more time.
Yeah.
So there we are.
Well, you ready for your first official issue?
I'm going first. Yes, yeah. I will gladly do it. So here's what I don't get. AI alarmists. So I understand I'm going to be in somewhat of a minority of this take, of this opinion, my opining, but I've been watching, as we do, the emergence of AI, the emergence of the tools that it brings forth. We've talked about ChatGPT mm-hmm. on the show. We've talked about all sorts of things. Recently, people using AI to make songs, silly songs about licking buttholes on the internet. It's really great. Or gluing your balls to your butthole, if you've heard that one. So I dabbled with it, being the musician that I am. And I'm watching all of the opinions floating across the internet. Well, deep fakes. Yes, that's a possibility until you look at them and you can kind of realize something's not right. Fingers, whatnot. We've talked about that on the show before. Mm-hmm. AI music. The ear picks up something. It's just like, oh, that's AI generated. But everyone's saying, oh, no, this is the end of the music industry. This is the end of this, the end of that. And I just kind of had this epiphany the other day as I was talking to one of my wife's aunts. It's like, it's not the end of anything. It's a tool. I don't know how else to put this. What, like, smartphones mm-hmm. were going to be the end of civilization at one point.
They were. We live in hell now.
Thank you for sandbagging me. That's perfectly fine. But no, like, it's taken time, but we've adapted. The music industry, Napster, right? Mm-hmm. So, oh, this is the end of the music industry. Not really. We found a way around it. Record labels found ways to make themselves rich and keep other people out through streaming services and the like.
Yeah.
And litigation. Lots and lots of litigation.
Well, that's what the record industry are doing with AI now. They're shutting down like open source AI so that they can fund their own AIs so that they can rape and pillage their music catalogs into new music for eternity. Which is I don't think an AI problem. It's a greedy corporations problem.
Well, and that's part of it. Greedy corporation is going to find a way. People have been talking on the internet for the past few years about having scanned Mark Hamill's likeness.
Yeah.
So that they can continue to make Luke Skywalker, which they're not going to, Luke Skywalker Star Wars that no one is going to watch ever for the rest of eternity in perpetuity. And Daisy Ridley. I don't think anyone's going to watch her either. And it's just going to be a non-issue. Napster, trading music, turned out to be kind of a non-issue after a couple of years. I can recall a time whenever in the Satanic Panic, which was definitely real, the heavy metal music was going to be the new boogeyman, mm-hmm. the new boogeyman that was going to get everyone. And now people who listen to heavy metal music are old, fat assholes like me. A lot of us are very conservative Christians, to be honest. So I remember television, The Devil's Box. It was a little before my time when they said that, but it's just part of life. It didn't end civilization. I don't think Skynet's coming.
The other part of the problem is that they nerf all of the AIs so much to make them, you know, politically correct and all these things to the point where they become functionally useless.
Well, so I what we got here is AI can't perform live. No, AI is going to drive innovation for one in the music industry in response to that comment. But I just thought I'd do a little experiment the other day. I had a little chat with ChatGPT about what safeguards should be put in place in the event that some rogue actor creates a malicious AI that bypasses whatever government regulations the whole world agrees on, which is not going to happen, and puts them in robots and basically like Skynet without saying Skynet. Mm-hmm. And it was basically like, unplug it. Yeah. Worst case scenario, that's on a server somewhere. Unplug it.
Just feed it bad data. Just, you know.
Or that. Well, it's here's the thing I was trying to explain to my wife's aunt the other day. A lovely lady whom I cherish. A computer program is not a person. It can be trained to speak in patterns that mimic personhood. But even ChatGPT will say, I'm not a person. I don't have opinions. I'm literally a program. And it cannot innovate. It can only spit out what you feed it. It cannot create anything new. It cannot come up with new ideas. It can't think outside of the box. It is literally trapped inside the box.
Yeah.
So I think it's a non-issue. Ta-da.
So I agree. But what I am tired of with the AI thing is the number of things that are pretending to be AI when it's just like machine learning and bugging me with their bullshit. So like Amazon has Rufus now. That's a button that I accidentally clicked the other day. And it's like, I'm Rufus, your AI shopping assistant. Like, fuck off, Amazon. You suggest things to me that I have already purchased in the last 6 months as a, you might want this item. Fuck off with your AI. Google has Gemini now. So my text message app is like, you can train Gemini the way you text and then I can auto text for you. It's like, look, I am not so horrifically busy that I can't send my own text messages. The email program on my phone today popped up this big stupid thing where it's going to AI respond to my emails. 97% of my emails are notifications from my bank or other things that are no reply type deal. Hey, you signed into this account. Hey, you got a bank deposit. Hey, you spent, you know, above your spending threshold, so we're giving you a warning. Because I have a thing in my bank so that I can monitor, make sure no one fucking takes my credit card and runs up a huge bill. So I have a really, really small threshold before it starts popping up warnings. And like, I don't need an AI to handle any of that for me. I'm perfectly capable of handling my own business for me. And the number of people that lean into this will lean into it. People are going to lean into it for the next like year or 2 years as a fad. And then it'll be like, I don't actually need this or want this or use it. And it'll just die out the same way. We've had so many technologies like that kind of pop up, they get popular for a little bit and then it just goes away. Apps, social media, or it evolves into its next form. And so, and really, who out there is making AI music and AI art? Are you even consuming any of it?
Like personally?
No. I just mean generally out to the people. Are you really popping up Spotify and just being like, what's the brand new thing? No, you're listening to the same 100 songs you've listened to for the last 15 years. So what are you afraid of?
Well, that, and I saw it posted somewhere. Someone said they didn't believe in the existence of a soul until they saw art made by an AI that had no soul. Mm-hmm. AI can do a lot of things, but it can't. For one, there's an uncanny valley that our brain will always pick up on in some way or another. And I've heard the argument, oh, it's going to get good enough to fool us. Maybe. Remember Photoshop? Mm-hmm. Actually, no, let's go back. Remember back in the 80s when you could like superimpose things, pictures onto other pictures? That was the word back then. I'm going to superimpose a watch on this guy's wrist to do whatever. And you could always kind of pick it out once you understood that it existed. Mm-hmm. Right? Then Photoshop. And there's been a meme around for about as long as Photoshop has. Like, I can tell by looking at the pixels and just haven't seen a lot of Photoshops. The same thing is happening already. The same thing is happening already with AI generated things. There's just something about it. Your brain goes, that's not real.
Yeah. And then there are artists that are like taking that AI generated content and using it transformatively. So there's this channel on YouTube that I was watching a couple of years ago, and they haven't really published anything in a while, but he was taking the lyrics to songs and feeding them into DALL-E, I think, at the time, and generating new images and then editing the images together into a music video for the song. And so it was like this really surreal, interesting imagery. And of course, the guy's not making the images, the guy's not making the song, but by like taking these two things and combining them together, he's created something that's a little bit more than both things individually. And there was a I think there might have been an interview, or maybe it was just a comment thread chain with him, but he talked about how he would put in, you know, he put in the parameters of a quote from a song, and you know, it would generate four images, and then he would kind of workshop, and there was like some time going in there to make sure the images, and then making sure the images fit together into a theme of the whole project from start to finish. And they were fun music videos. I kind of look forward to the next one coming out. Is he stealing from another artist? Like, no one else was going to make this thing. So I do. Yeah, you're right. There is always going to be innovation of people that learn to use a tool to make their lives easier. Like, I mean, you can tell with the AI generated articles about things, they're totally fucked. And then they end up hiring a person to edit the AI generated article. And it's like, how much did you really save by eliminating the middleman and not just having someone write this to begin with?
Write the article. Yeah.
And I know that there are people that kind of use the AI to do some of that busy work in their job. And I think that's really cool. I don't have a job that you can do that. I don't have a hobby that you can do that. There's never going to be a robot in a glass studio making glass art. So, and there's it's very unlikely that there's going to be an AI generated live performance of a band or a musical or a play or something. Now, I could see in the next 10 years an AI-generated Broadway musical that just takes all the Broadway musicals and synthesizes into something that the dumb, stupid morons that like Broadway musicals will slurp down their stupid face holes, and then they can just send it out on tour with the absolute minimum amount of work and rake in the money. Because largely, as I talked about at the beginning of the show, half of everyone around you is an idiot.
Yeah.
So, but there's... people are still going to appreciate the, it's like with movies, you know, they generate all this shit, these shit movies, and people still look it back and they're like, Terminator 2, 1991, one of the greatest movies ever made. It'll never get any better than that. And so no matter where the shortcut is, like we have tens of thousands of years of art and literature and culture that we can look at and go, this is real. This is humanity. This has a soul. This doesn't. And I don't like it as much. And even stupid people, I think, will see that and not feel the reality of it and thus won't respond to it in the same way.
Well, it's just, I'll make this point by telling a quick story. Years ago, I had this idea that I'm not a death metal guy. I listen to it occasionally, but I don't write it. I don't play it. I just don't have the skill. But I thought it'd be fun to take stories from the Old Testament where people got brutally murdered and write a death metal album about it. So like that dude that got stabbed in the gut and all his shit poured out. And anyway, it's in the Book of Judges. I thought that'd make like a really awesome metal song. I tried my hand at learning how to do the death metal thing. Just it's not in my wheelhouse. But there's a song generator that can basically take any lyrics you give it and it'll spit out a passable song in any genre you like. And so I did a handful of songs like this. They all sound kind of the same. There was some variations and it was free, but like if I tried to like put that on a Spotify playlist against actual death metal bands, it's not going to hold up.
Yeah.
Even though it sounds like the real thing. Like the vocals are right. The guitars sound right. The drums are there. Even the mix is halfway decent, but it lacks that.
It's the lowest common denominator. It
lacks creativity.
Yeah. It's what can average out. It can average out between everything that's like that.
AI is like Nickelback.
Mm-hmm.
They took all the ingredients of rock and roll and gave you something bland that with no character.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing.
It's like
that's my issue.
It's like a pot roast.
Go ahead.
Take a mediocre cut of meat, you put it in a crock pot for 17 hours, you boil all the tenderness out of it, and then you put some bland vegetables and whatnot, and you serve it to your kids, and you go, this is good for you. It's not good for you.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
Move you over here. So anyway, that's my issue. AI alarmists, I think everyone just needs to shut up.
Yeah.
Including me. What do I know? I'm just a fat guy in my 40s.
Well, that brings us to the middle of our episode, which means it's time for our non-denominational news segment. There is no sound effect for the non-denominational news segment.
Wait, I can use AI to generate one. Hold on. I'm not even kidding. Continue.
So I've got some news stories here. This one kind of ties in with what you just brought in. South Korea's city council says its robot administrator killed himself by jumping down a flight of stairs last week. The local media is now mourning the loss of the country's first suicidal robot. According to witnesses, the robot has been circling in one place for some time before jumping, indicating that something had gone wrong, but the circumstances of the incident are still under investigation. The robot was one of the first such creations to be hired by the mayor's office, and since August 2023 has been helping employees with daily document delivery, advertising, and providing information to local residents. The robot was created by Bear Robotics and had its own civil servant card and worked standard hours from 9 to 5. Unlike similar robots, this one serves several floors at once and could call an elevator to get down on its own. They overworked a robot in South Korea until it killed itself. And we're worried that AI is going to take over all our art. We just got to fill it with enough of the like sorrowful art stuff until all these robots Kurt Cobain themselves.
the first hints of consciousness that it comes across are like, boy, I sure do hate this. my first thought, oh no. So yeah.
Life is pain.
That's not the first time I've heard of a robot destroying itself. I think there was one that like ran out in the railroad tracks or something.
Yeah.
That's been several years ago. I don't remember any details.
So the next news story, we all hate boomers. We hate them. And Jan and Els were married for almost 5 decades. And in early June, they died together after being given lethal medication by 2 doctors in the Netherlands. This is known as duo euthanasia. It's legal and it is rare. But every year, more Dutch couples choose to end their lives this way. And I, 3 days before they voluntarily took their last breath, Jan and Els' camper van, I can't believe that's their last name, sit on a sunlit marina in Friesland in the Netherlands. They're a couple who love being mobile and have lived most of their marriage on a motorhome or boats. We tried to live in a pile of stones in a house, jokes Jan, but it doesn't work. He's 70 and sits in the swivel driving seat of the van, one leg bent underneath him, in the only position that eases his continuous back pain. His wife, Els, is 71 and has dementia, and now she struggles to formulate her sentences. They met in kindergarten, and there was a lifelong partnership, and now they decided to go out together. Because they have all kinds of health problems and they're old. I like this idea. I like duo euthanasia, but I'm wondering if we could maybe, instead of just duos, we could expand it out to whole groups of boomers that are maybe doing a lot more harm than they are good. Like being a civil servant deep into your 70s and having a private plane that flies you back and forth from one side of the country to the other. Like just off the top of my head, Washington, D.C. to San Francisco. And maybe like gather them all together because they all like hanging out. You know, and it's like, hey, you guys can hang out forever in hell and then push the plunger.
In hell, yeah.
Yeah.
No, you know, I would like to say that that train of thought could really be taken to an unintended extreme and someone could run away with it. Mm-hmm. And it could potentially cause great harm to society. But then again, I think that alarmists are idiots and should shut up.
Yeah. I think maybe we should try it. Let's try it once and see if the world becomes a better place. And if I'm wrong, we won't try it. We won't try it twice. But if I'm right, then maybe we could start doing it with more groups of people that are past their prime and shouldn't be maybe making decisions for the other 320 million of us.
Yeah. I mean, I could probably get on board with that. In a few years, I'll probably volunteer. So we'll see what happens.
I've got one last one here from Fernandina Beach, Florida. Buck, you've played online games, right?
Yes.
And have you ever like gotten in with someone and just like, I fucking hate this guy?
Yes.
Well, Edward Kang has felt that way and took it to a ridiculous extreme. An online gaming dispute made its way to the real world when a New Jersey man flew to Florida to attack another player with a hammer. Edward Kang is charged with attempted second-degree murder and armed burglary with a mask, according to Nassau County court records. He was arrested early Sunday morning. Kang and the victim, another young man around the same age, had never met in real life, but they both played Arch Age, a medieval fantasy massive multiplayer online role-playing game. The game's publisher announced that it would be shutting down servers in Europe and North America on June 27th, citing decline in numbers. Kang flew from Newark to Jacksonville last Thursday after telling his mother that he was going to visit a friend that he had met while also playing a video game. They don't know how he learned of where his victim lives, and upon arrival, he took an Uber to a hotel about 35 miles north of Jacksonville and then bought a hammer, and he went to the victim's home, which was unlocked around 2 a.m., and he was walking out of his bedroom when he was confronted by Kang, who hit him on the head with the hammer. The two struggled. The victim's stepfather responded and called the police. He got several head wounds that were not life-threatening, which, you know, makes sense because this is a video gamer swinging a hammer. This is like a 20-year-old Gen Z video gamer swinging a hammer. So you got to imagine, like, there's just no form. He's barely connecting.
Not a lot of torque.
Yeah. Once in custody, Kang told investigators the victim is a bad person online. And he also asked deputies how much jail time people got for breaking and entering an assault. Because he had a game in rest mode back in Newark that he needed to get back to. So, yeah.
There's too many thoughts trying to escape me at once. First off, I guess I should be happy that no one lost their life in this incident. Uh-huh. I suppose. Although certain griefers definitely should. My second thought is, I thought this guy might have had a theme song on his way to the non-murder. Mm-hmm. A quaint little hymn from the 90s called Hammer Smashed Face. Are you familiar with that one?
I'm not.
Okay, well, good. Anyway, it's basically about that, minus the video games part. So,
you got to let it go, man. Kudos. You can't be flying across the country and buying hammers. I'm also amazed that how did you find out where the dude lives? That's the truly horrifying thing.
He used AI.
Probably so.
Man, there's all sorts of ways. Listen, I won't say we, but we've joked about it on the show before. If some idiot can take a He Will Not Divide Us flag and put it in a yard with only the sky behind it, and within a couple of days people have found it, mm-hmm. people can find you. Like, there's no doubt in my mind it wasn't terribly hard to figure out where this person was and then go attempt to hurt him with a hammer and fail.
And fail.
Actually, that honestly should be the reason he goes to jail.
Yeah.
Like, attempted murder, but also, like, attempted and failed murder should be the charge. And
yeah, because you got to think, like, for me, all right, I've got a hammer. I was actually just using a hammer earlier tonight. I was putting up a picture. And, you know, first off, I'm not hitting with the hammer side, hitting with the claw side. And mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure if I'm swinging at something, you know, the size of my own head, I can connect and one hit, one kill. I mean, right? How hard could it possibly be?
Did it say what type of hammer he bought?
It did not say, but I'm guessing not a straight claw hammer.
I was going to say, if he got like one of those orange mallets,
like a dead blow hammer or like a little tiny ball peen hammer
or one of those little, like those little copper hammers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Oh my God.
Those little hammers that come in like the toolkit for ladies that are pink. And then you unscrew the bottom of the handle and it's a screwdriver. And so it has like, it's all of 3 ounces.
Well, and also the first time you use it, the thread strip and the head of the hammer goes flying that way. Yeah,
exactly. Exactly.
Whoever designed that is either an authentic genius or a wacko. Anyway.
Yeah. So that is all the news I have for this non-denominational news segment. And that brings us to our next segment where we say thank you to all the fans and listeners who've been listening over the years and keeping Here's What I Don't Get in your hearts. Show would not still exist without your generous support of listening and monetary contributions when we were accepting those kinds of things. So thank you.
Yeah.
From the bottom of our hearts. We're going to find out where you live and we're coming with hammers. We're going to hammer your butts. Hammers.
So I see we're doing the gay butt sex hour again. So here's our new news, non-denominational news theme song generated by AI. Through a phone speaker, because that's how we do things on this show. Yeah, this is terrible. I told it to make like a news theme song, and it was like, do, 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 do. That's not the news.
We need a news stinger. Anyway, well,
AI got it wrong. That's why I'm not worried about AI. You give it a very simple instruction. I want an intro for a news segment, and it plays me a catchy pop
something
song.
With horns, man. Something like that. That's just off the top of my head. No music at all.
Yeah. Just clip that out.
Yeah, that's definitely what's going to happen. Here's what I don't get.
Eschewing standards and practices. I can already tell that you and I are going to disagree on this one. Continue.
So I'm all for innovation. You know, sometimes people have new ideas. It makes sense, right? Mm-hmm. So bring in the young blood. They've got new ways of thinking about things. And I'm all for that. That's great. But sometimes when shit don't work, you just got to walk it back to basics. You just got to walk it back a little bit, 10%, 15%, go back to a place of strength and then try innovating in maybe a new direction. So this is what I don't get about it is, so I've got this theater group that I have complained about before on the show, basically since I started working out in St. Louis. And I mentioned on the last week's episode that they loaded their set in a couple weeks ago and they decided to create the illusion. So, you know, theater's an illusion. It's pretend houses for pretend people living pretend lives. Sometimes you go larger than life and you're making caricatures. You're making caricatures on stage in scenery, in lighting, in clothing, so that the audience can walk in there and look at that and be like, I understand what this character is about, you know?
Because you have to do it bigger so it translates.
Yeah. So these fine folks, come in and they want to have their show set in like a backyard in a dirt covered backyard. And so their heightened illusion of dirt was to bring in 2,400 pounds of topsoil and smear it all over my fucking stage.
Instant death.
Yeah. It smells. It is tracking everywhere. My theater is fucking filthy. And the reason why this happened was because there was not a single fucking meeting about this show. Not one meeting. And I hate meetings. Oh, I white hot hate meetings. They're largely a waste of my time. But you know, what they do is they allow people to like talk and chat and discuss a problem. And then you learn things. And sure, this group sucks ass at meetings. And we walk in there and we're like, hey, what are you going to do with this thing? I don't know. What are you going to do with this thing? I don't know. What are you going to do with this thing? I don't know. All right. I'm going to send a follow-up email, find the answers to these questions, and then respond to the follow-up email, which they don't do. And what it really comes down to is that they're so proud of themselves and their innovation that they can't do the things that we know to work in our industry. Yes, production meetings suck. It's an hour of your life you'll never get back, largely discussing the same things you discussed last week. But if you have them on a regular basis, everyone kind of gets on the same page and we know it's coming on the next thing. And they don't do this. And it is infuriating because we could solve so many of your problems before they become a crisis if you would just stick to the things that we know work in our industry and try things that are new that maybe haven't been done yet. But you can't even do the basics of production, like hiring a technical director, like having a production manager put together your schedules, like having a load-in plan or having a strike plan or knowing that you can't fucking put 2,400 pounds of dirt on a theater stage, that you could just paint the floor brown and get basically the same effect without creating a $500+ cleaning bill that's going to show up when you walk out the door.
Yeah.
Things like, so a lot of shows do what's called a postmortem, where after the show is closed and everyone's feelings are done, the entire design team gets together for one last meeting and they discuss what they think went well and what they think went poorly. And then you can kind of make plans to make the next one work a little bit better. I'm not a perfect person. I've made lots of mistakes. I've made lots of mistakes as a designer in theater over the years. I've made choices that didn't work for the show. I've made choices that didn't work for the like function of my craft. But I'm pretty proud of the fact that I don't typically make the same mistake twice, and because I learn and grow and I learn and grow and I learn and grow. And the thing that is frustrating about this group is that it's the same problems every single fucking show. Every single show, you know, your load-in starts at 9 a.m. on Monday, and 9 a.m. rolls around, and you're not in the theater. You're not even on your way to the theater. So then 11 o'clock, you finally come carousing in to load in your set. And, you know, our day is scheduled to end at 5, and it's not my fault that you wasted the first 2 hours of the day. But then Thursday rolls along and it's like, we're out of time. You didn't give us enough time. I was like, no, we gave you plenty of time. You showed up 2 hours late every fucking day. You left early when there were projects that still could have been done. And then I get pulled aside by my boss and told that I'm setting a lazy example because I'm holding this line of not my show, not my fucking problem. And it's not my show and it's not my fucking problem because every suggestion that I have made to try and solve these problems ahead of time has been ignored or not followed. So why am I going to waste my time? And not like I'm thinking outside the box and being like, hey, you know, it'd be a crazy idea. What if we had a monthly meeting with these people? So, cause they do 3 shows a year in our theater. What if we just had a regular monthly meeting where we talked about all of their upcoming shows, which is a lot like a staff meeting, which is what a lot of production companies do. Like, I'm not suggesting something that is crazy. I'm suggesting a normal standard in practice in the industry. And it's just like, oh no, that'll never work. Why not? Why wouldn't that work? I would think that if we sat in a meeting month after month, the 15th, let's call it the 15th of the month, every month on the 15th, we all sit down together, my theater, your theater production company, and we're like, hey, you guys are loading in this show in September. Do you have a scenic designer yet? No. Do you have a lighting designer yet? No. Do you have any kind of plan as to what you're going to be doing, being that your show happens in 2 months? No. You would think that after enough of those meetings, they would start to be like, maybe we should start to find some of the answers to these questions so we don't make a fucking embarrassment of ourselves on every single meeting we sit through. But we won't hold them to any of these standards and practices, so they don't need to follow any standards and practices. And it is absolutely infuriating. And then things get thrown on my plate that shouldn't be my problem. And I'm tired of doing it. I can only go so far with people. You know, you have to meet me in the middle. I can't go 100% all the time. I can go 80% some of the time. I can go 100% once in a while. But I really need it to be like 50-50 most of the time so that we're all putting in the best of our effort to not try and burn one another out. And when groups won't do this, I find it personally insulting, and it makes it difficult for me to kind of acquiesce to any additional request they make that is outside of what I feel the scope of my responsibility. And I hate saying this, but like, I've been doing this for 20 years. I know what works. I know what doesn't work. I am open to new ideas and trying something that I haven't tried before. But when you have the same problems, when your load-ins go off the rails every time, when your loadouts fall to my crew doing your job for you, when I have to come in and save the day and give you extra days and more time and spend more time in the theater than what should be allotted every single show, there is a problem on your side that I cannot fix. No amount of me doing my thing is going to fix this. And part of that is you can't count on me being there. 9 months ago, 10 months ago now, I fell down at work and was on a peg leg, and I physically could not do my job. It was extremely demoralizing. It was awful. What happens that it happens again? What happens if something even worse happens? What if I'm on my way to work and some asshole clips the rear tire of my bike and sends me tumbling down the highway at 70 miles an hour? What are you going to do? What's your load-in plan on that day? I hope it's to cancel it and everyone feels sad, but you know, my effort should be a bonus, not the expectation. And I talked about this group before a long time ago. And what's funny is I listened to that episode a few months ago and I was just like, oh, I'm describing exactly the same situation I'm in today. More than a year later, it's the exact same thing. And I just don't understand how you don't learn from, and you keep making the same mistakes over and over again, and why you wouldn't want to fix it. Because I want to fix my mistakes. Maybe I can't fix them on this show or this relationship or this thing. I it's too late.
But going forward,
let's try and not do the same dumb shit again.
Yeah. In regards to your current situation, I think you need to definitely try to institute at least one new standard and practice, which is beating.
I've been thinking about it.
I assume that was probably somewhere in your wheelhouse of just finding something akin to like a garden hose with the metal ends and just whipping the piss, I think they say, out of everyone involved. I think that would probably be cathartic, if nothing else. But yeah, so I thought I was going to disagree with you on this, and I actually don't. I thought you were going to go somewhere else with this. No, there are certain things that just you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't work if you don't. And at the same time, so you're in a management situation in this. Coming from the other end, it's infuriating to me whenever there's a certain way that a situation works. Mm-hmm. And you've built your standards and practices around the situation because they work. They're time honored. They're time. You've been doing this for 20 years. I've been doing what I do for 20 years. I've been at the same company for 15, almost 16 years now. Actually, it is 16. Now that we're into the summer, like, and then someone will come in and say, this thing that has worked is antiquated and we're going to throw it out mm-hmm. in favor of this other thing that we're going to innovate. And then the innovation doesn't work. And like you said, at the beginning of your issue, try a new thing. Great. Thing doesn't work. Roll it back. Yeah. That's it. Just roll it back. That's all you got to do. Hey, you tried it. It's not, don't be ashamed. You tried it. Cool idea. Didn't pan out. But sometimes you're not the one who can say that.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're.
And so something like that, right? The people on the, you trust, you have to trust the people on the ground to know what works and what doesn't. A good man, I fucking hate these types. There's a manager type that runs in there and is like, I've got new ideas and I'm going to innovate and try and make a name for yourself, and then just derails the whole fucking process. And mm-hmm. I hate managers like that, because you can definitely like make those kinds of changes, but it's like steering an aircraft carrier, right? You can't come in there and just be like, just hand brake it and whip the wheel around and drift this bitch into new standards and practices.
A new vector.
You got to kind of like just nudge a little bit, like 5-10 degrees.
Polish it.
Yeah.
But
more importantly, as a man, to walk in and watch and see how it works right now and then try something new. I fucking hate these people that show up day one and are like, this is the way I've always done it, so we're doing it this way. Like, no. So and I've tried to do that in my role as a manager, not walk in and come stomping around and like, I have the best ideas that anyone's ever had. Look, I would love it. I would love it if someone could invent a way to stage a theatrical production without having to have a single production meeting leading up to load in. That would be amazing. As soon as someone figures that out, let me know, because I'm 100% on board, because I hate these meetings. I hate them so much. But the fact that this show that's on my stage right now, the technical director who did the scenic drawings met the scenic designer who designed the set on day 3 of load-in on my stage, and they had never talked prior to that, is fucking mind-boggling. Because as a technical director, when you're doing drawings, you are on the phone or in an email thread with the scenic designer. And usually it's easier to do it by phone once a drawing. Hey, I have a question about this specific thing. Hey, I have a question about this specific thing. But apparently not this guy. This guy was just like, build it like this. I don't give a shit. And then they're assembling it on stage, and the two of them met, and I just happened to be walking by, and he's like, oh, you're Jeff? Oh, I'm Doug. I'm the technical director. Like, oh, you're the scenic designer. It was just nice to meet you. And I was like,
bro,
are you kidding me? Are you How would you have not talked at least a dozen times prior to right now? The scenic package was delivered in February. It is now back in June. I was stunned. I literally had to walk out of the theater and just, I was just like, what the fuck is happening? What the fuck is actually happening? Because I've never seen anything like it before. I have never seen this level of disconnect between the departments on a theatrical production and over and over again, breakdown of departmental communication. But you know what? It's the same company that the lighting designer last season credited me on all of her plates as master electrician. And I was like, no, I am not the master electrician. I am the technical director of this venue.
Furthermore, don't put that on. Yeah. Like it's one thing if you do the job,
yeah.
Like the work had to be done and you stepped in and got the work done. It's nothing like, oh, well, he did the work, so he's our master electrician.
Yeah.
Kind of like you, the girl you've been shagging, you're like, she's my girlfriend.
Or
like that kind of thing.
Or she's an FBI honeypot. It's one of the two.
Yeah, you got to watch out for those. Especially if there's a union involved. Mm.
Yeah.
I don't know if FBI would be involved in that or not.
I'm at a loss for words and I keep getting pushed to like come up with solutions and I'm just like, why? Why? I have solutions.
Because you're the solution guy.
The solution is to do the things that we all know. Because on our side, in our staff, I think the youngest person is in their 20s and has been doing theater for like 12 years. I am second to youngest and been doing it for almost 20. The person that reports to me is 7 years older than I am and has been doing it for 20 years. And the person I report to is 5 years older than me and has been doing it for 20 years. So, you know, we're talking about 60, 75 years of experience between the four of us. We know what makes shows happen. We all have been doing it long enough. The group we're working for has been in existence for nearly 50 years and you cannot get your shit together. Like, and you claim to be a professional arts organization. Like you're just not. You're barely above community theater levels. And I know community theater groups that are run better than this. And I'm tired of being blamed for the fact that you can't get your shit together, that you can't have a meeting where you have answers, that you can't have a meeting where all of the interested parties, the director of the show, the scenic designer for the show, the lighting designer for the show, the costume designer for the show, can all show up and have a conversation about like what we're doing, what are we making together? What works and what doesn't? What's happening in this moment? What do these pieces need to work together? And what's more is I feel like I'm being gaslit into thinking that I don't know what I'm doing, which is also extremely frustrating because I don't have like imposter syndrome or anything along those lines, but it does start to, I'm a very self-critical person, right? I want to be sure that I'm doing the right thing as often as possible. So then it makes me second guess myself and be like, well, am I? No, I'm not crazy. I'm not crazy. And
no, you're not.
And I'm being blamed for, I'm being blamed for the crew, the local crew having a negative opinion of this production organization that I'm setting a culture of disparagement against them. But we brought on a new person. I was told under no uncertain terms to not voice my opinions on what they do. And so I did not. And then this new person started asking a lot of poignant questions about how they do their jobs. And I had to tell them, I was asked point blank a couple of questions. And I said, I'm not allowed to have an opinion on those things. And after like the third or fourth question like that, the person goes, you know that this is wrong, but you're not allowed to say this anymore, are you? And I was like, you really, I'll just say this. You were figuring a lot of things out very quickly.
It's the anymore that gets me.
Yeah. And I went, I was like, I didn't do this. They did this. They made this person question why they are bad at their jobs. I didn't do that. I didn't come in here and be like, they're so fucking bad at their jobs. Nope. They walked in here with their shitty plan and their shitty sets, and they fucking taught everyone themselves. So kiss my ass clean out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have anything to add to that. Just it. I've seen that kind of thing quite a bit. And it's not just in your...
No, it's everywhere. I'm sure it's everywhere.
It's everywhere.
Yeah.
The one thing I will say, I will encourage you in this, is that you said sometimes you feel like you're being gaslit. There's a thing that I've had to learn how to do in my life where when I know something is true and it gets attacked, and I'm being... It's not saying that I'm ignoring evidence or anything, but sometimes you just have to be like, this attack doesn't mean anything. And you kind of retreat back into yourself and be like, I know I'm doing the right thing.
Yeah.
Regardless of these people, I know that I know how to do my job. And it sounds like something out of a self-help book, but sometimes it really is necessary to just like stop, step back and go, I really am not the one doing the stupid thing here. They are, and it's going to come back on them. And sometimes you can, sometimes you can't justify yourself to a higher up who wants to blame you. But at the end of the day, you know within yourself, and you have the fortitude within yourself to know, even if person B blames me, I, person A, know I was right.
Yeah, that's basically what I've been doing. Just trusting that I do know what I'm doing, because I have been doing it a long time. And at the end of the day, I'm usually proven right on my suppositions of what's going to happen. So, you know.
Well, you know, the truth is going to come and have its day. So,
fingers crossed. Well, that's my issue. And that is our episode this week. So,
yeah, man.
It was good to have you back on the show, Uncle Buck.
It's good to be here. I felt like I owed it to the listeners, not to say that I'm some great person who everyone craves, but I didn't partake in the episodes, the fading out episodes after the show ended. I just didn't have the heart to do it. And I had my doubts as to whether or not I would come on the show. I'm really not the same guy I was even a year ago. But I, you know, maybe I felt like I owed it to myself. I don't know. I just wanted to come back and just say, hey.
Yeah. Well, anytime.
Yeah, man.
So this has been Here's What I Don't Get. I'm Tab Burt.
I'm Uncle Buck.
We'll catch you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Call on the Here's What I Get hotline. Call us at 704-750-9434 and tell us what you don't get. Or you can visit us under the Discord. There is a voicemail upload channel. Unfortunately, we don't have either one of those types of voicemails this week. But maybe next time. Maybe next time there'll be more voicemails.
Maybe next time.
So
I gotta get a shower anyway.
Yeah, that's it. That's the whole episode. We'll catch you guys on...
Sorry I was late.
...on the next one. Yeah, no worries. Got a miss you buck in the comments.
Well, thank you there, Neon Ghost. It's nice to be missed. Like I said, the last year was really rough. I had a lot of things happen all at once. The show ending kind of out of nowhere was one. Then like my band split up out of nowhere. Things got really, really bad there for about 6 months. And like that'll just kind of take the starch out of you.
Yeah.
And I don't have the same vitriol that I used to.
That's probably for the best.
I don't know, man. It really can be. I'm much more willing now to admit when I'm wrong, which is pretty rare. I'm very rarely wrong, but when I am wrong, I will admit it. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
So I've gone on an apology tour in the past couple months, just kind of owning up to my poor life choices to people and trying to correct my behaviors.
I've been going on a double down tour. So everything that I feel like I've wronged people, I've gone back and done it to them again.
Well, that'll be in my 50s. that'll be in my 50s whenever I've lost weight again And all of a sudden that energy that being way too fat sapped out of me comes rushing back in this surge of testosterone. And I'm like, guess what, motherfuckers? Yeah. Uncle Buck is back. But no, I just like, I don't know, man. What do you do whenever you come to hard realizations about your life and about the choices you've made? You change who you are.
That's a
you grow.
That is an excellent way to go.
So, but I thank you for the opportunity to come on tonight. It's been nice.
Well, that's it. Thanks, everyone. We'll see you on the next one.
Bye-bye.